Good morning.
I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. I am going to attempt to dig into a topic that I've been working on for a year, and you would think if you've been working on it for a year, you should be able to have a clear head. But I will be honest with you, the more I dug into this subject, the bigger it got, the bigger it is. And I'm not going to attempt to flush out everything in this passage of Scripture. It is one of those topics that we have that we like to talk about periodically. And I believe it's been at least 10 years since this subject was talked about. And that means that there are young people who have never heard a message on 1 Corinthians 11, the first part of the chapter. And I struggled with a title. There's a lot of different titles that can go into this. And I want to say from the start that as I dug into this, this speaks to men as much as it does to women. Even though Paul's talking about a symbol that is more obvious for the women, the part that comes into this, that if we as men are not taking our place, the ladies, the women in our household, will find it hard to take theirs as well. And so I believe that the whole picture that Paul's talking about here is more than just where a lot of people want to focus. And I don't feel like that's where we focus, but I do want to say that I will say right now, we're not going to get through this today. I've already talked to Junior. I plan to follow up with a final part of it next Sunday and address some other things that we won't get into this morning, because it was pretty obvious about 12:30 this morning that I was not going to be able to finish it. And so I spent quite a bit of time in prayer trying to figure out where to separate it. I'm still not sure it's the right place, but I've got a place to separate it. So that's where we're going to separate it this morning. I do want to say that I hope to do this more in a teaching fashion than a preaching fashion. I do believe very strongly that as people, and it doesn't matter who we are, when we practice something or believe something, we need to be periodically reminded of why. And if we don't, we will lose it, and the next generation won't even know why. And that doesn't mean that if we teach it, that we're going to be able to maintain every generation. I do find it interesting, and I guess I've been wrestling with this part this morning. Probably a month ago, I came back. I was gone from the job for some reason, and I had someone there doing some work, and I've known this man for a long time. He's worked for us quite a bit, and we've had some pretty interesting discussions. We disagree on a few things, which is not abnormal. And I walked up, I had my mind on something else, and he asked me a question, and the question was this: what's your opinion on divorce and remarriage? And he caught me off guard. My first reaction was, this is a trap question. My second reaction was, I don't have time. And I simply just stopped and I looked at him and I said, well, if we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and we believe that Jesus' words are a big part of that, then I would want to look at the words that Jesus had to say about that subject. And in my response to him, I knew why he was asking the question. But I never did ask him because I didn't feel like it was a fair question. And he looked at me, and we discussed it a minute, and then we went on to work. And he looked at me, and he said, "I agree with you. If we are going to follow the teachings of Christ, then we need to be intentional about it." And so this morning, while I want to go through the first part this morning is going to be more of an expository, looking into the verses, looking into some of the words. Next time, I want to get into more of some of the words in the original. But I want to say carefully that while there are many people that do not practice 1 Corinthians 11, I challenge you to find out why. Where did that start? Where did the losing of this principle and this practice start? And if you look at our culture today, I think you're going to see the effects of that. Getting out of God's creation order. And I'm talking to the men. The men in our culture, in our society, have not taken their place. And it's showing up in our families. It's showing up. Each generation is getting farther and farther away from the order that God created. We'll read in just a minute. And I will tell you that actually one of the main sources that I used is not an Anabaptist writing. It is a writing that is very current. It is a group. You can Google it. It is Head Covering Movement, and they have a lot of information on their website and a lot of teaching that is non-Anabaptist teaching that is very interesting to see and hear how these people have come to understand 1 Corinthians 11 and what they have done to practice it. I'm not going to get into the practical application of it. I'll be very honest with you. There are different ways to practice it. I'm not going to get into that. That one is, I believe, between the person and God or the group and God. There are four reasons that Paul gives, and we'll read it here after I say this. There are four reasons for head coverings that the Apostle Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 11. The first of those is the foundation, the deeper reality that head coverings point to. When a new believer is baptized, they're symbolizing their death to their old life and new life in Christ. When a woman prays with her head covered and a man prays with his head uncovered, they too are symbolizing something greater. And there's four points that we're going to look at. We're going to look at the first three today. The first one is creation order. The second one is the angels. The third one is nature. And the fourth one is glory. And if you'll read with me, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the teachings just as I passed them on to you. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, and every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. If a woman does not cover her head, she should have her hair cut off, and it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut or shaved off. She should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man, for man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. For this reason, and because of the angels, the woman ought to have a sign of authority on her head. In the Lord, however, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as man came For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. It is proper for a woman to pray to God. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. So the first one is the foundation that Paul talks about here. He talks about the creation order. He says, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. And I want to ask a question. Is Paul saying here that a woman is less valuable than man? And he answers it later. And the answer is no. The answer is that we're equal. God created man and woman equal. In verse 11, he says, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. In all of creation, there are differences, but equality does not mean that we all have the same function. If I try to do some of the things that Phyllis does, we got a mess. I'll be honest with you. If she tries to do some of the things that I do, we got a mess. There is a reason and a purpose that God has created us the way he has. And it is, if you think about creation, I think in the next couple days we could see creation kind of get chaotic around here. I'm thinking Key West is a good idea right now. I can't seem to get the other half to agree to it this minute, but thinking about going by myself, it's that desperate. But it is. I mean, in even having these storms are part of what God has, he's designed it. And I don't understand all of that, but God has designed creation. We know that in about 3 months, it's going to be time to put out fertilizer. It's going to be time to plow the gardens. It's going to be time to get things moving again because Townsend's going to be ready to start cutting hay in about a month after that. And we're going to be wanting to eat some tomatoes soon after that. And it has its order. God created it that way, and he created it that way for a purpose. Think about this. The Trinity. Who can explain the Trinity to me? I think we had that in our New Believers class the other Sunday. I understand it, but it's hard to explain. Because God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're one, but they all three have different functions. But God the Father is the head of the Trinity. Now, I'll lose you real quick, and I'll lose myself, so I'm going to stop right there. Because it's a circle. Because their function is different, but they're the same. And God has created man and woman in the same way. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 to 14, Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Right here is one of the things that I'm saying that we as men need to take the responsibility. Adam was the one that was deceived. Adam knew that taking that fruit was the wrong thing to do. It was his responsibility to say, no, we can't do that. Equally, again, they were on the same place. Verses 7 through 9 here in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head. That word ought is more than just a simple suggestion. When you go back into the lexicon and you study that word is a command. It is not a simple suggestion that Paul is making. Well, I think this is a good idea, so I want you to do this. And we're going to get into a little more of the culture that Paul was addressing next Sunday. Because there was some very interesting things that I found as I studied the culture of that day.